This is the Leapcast, where we talk about how today's current events impact your real life. If you are tired of politics, or you are just exhausted from the spin, this show is for you. My name is Andrew Lieb, and every week I host a talk radio show breaking down the news from an independent point of view. We discuss real estate, business, and your health, hear from the experts, and learn the truth on the Leapcast.
Personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
Lauren, are you ready? Are you ready, Lauren?
Ready for what?
Dude, March. We're getting to March.
Oh, and do you
see all the snow's melting? And this week is we're getting into March. I am on the spring countdown right now.
Oh, I'm already in summer in my
You're
head.
In summer?
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm going to tell you why I'm in spring. I'm going to tell you why I'm in spring. I'm in spring because in spring you do cleaning. Spring cleaning. You've heard of spring cleaning?
That's every day in our house.
Well, no, but so anyway, my buddy, this gal, I don't know if you know her, Nicole Schwartz-Diaz, she's one of the top agents over at RE/MAX Integrity Leaders. I saw her, she was getting into the spring cleaning. She's cleaning up houses. Apparently what she's done is she's realized that it's a flipper's market, real estate flipping. And a lot of our audience watches HGTV. That's what they do. And how could you not, Lauren? The Property Brothers, they're so good looking. I can't decide which brother, you know?
Yeah, isn't one of them with some? One of them's with some famous star. I forgot which one.
And I'm not what's the one with the Canadian people? I love that guy. He's like bald, and it's like love it or leave it. So
love it or list it.
Oh, I love that stuff. And so anyway, my buddy Nicole, I see her online, and she's like cleaning out a house and making it magic, flipping houses. And I know everyone out there is in this dream world too. They're like, I'm going to do it like the Property Brothers. They think that all of a sudden they're going to be one of the brothers. Maybe she's a property sister. So I brought Nicole on. We got Nicole on the line, and I just want to understand, you're doing your first flip of a house, Nicole?
Yes, I am. We're done. We've flipped it and we are in full contract. We should be closing probably sometime next week.
You see that, Lauren? She's on full contract, but the law firm across the street from her office? No, not involved. Nicole, I thought we were friends. I'm telling you, you make me cry. But let's go back to what matters. So you've been a real estate salesperson. You're at a RE/MAX office. You're killing it over there. And you see to yourself, hey, listen, there's a pandemic. There's different market going on in Long Island. There's new opportunities emerging everywhere. What is your motivator that said, hey, now's the time not to be, I see you used to be a pizza gal, then you were doing project management, then you're in sales. Why go into flipping properties? What's your motivation here?
Well, let me first say that I absolutely loved being the pizza girl. I have to throw that out there. I still eat pizza 1 to 4 times a week.
I knew so I liked you.
You say 1 to 4.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What do you think? Yeah. More importantly, this is perhaps the most important question you're going to get today. What do you think about the cheese and the crust? I like when they do the cheesy crust. Do you remember that? Like, I think that's very, very delicious. Yeah. Like,
it is.
It's like all
it
the.
Is.
So there's a place near us, Nicole. I don't know if you go there, the Menino's, and they have the cheesy garlic knots.
I get them from La Scala in Comac, not going to lie. They have the best cheesy garlic knots. Been going there forever.
And they have a salad bar.
We'll have to have it.
They have a salad bar at La Scala. They have that salad bar, which is the best at La Scala. I love La Scala.
Yeah, I think that bar is not happening anymore in COVID.
Yeah, but they're going to be back, Lauren. La Scala and Comex.
Do you think that open food is ever going to get back?
Yes, I do. Okay. I'm a believer.
What do you think?
I pray.
You think open food buffets?
She's praying, Lauren, okay. And I believe in her. I think may the Lord hear her prayers, and may we all have open food. Like, there's nothing better than going to a buffet. Like, I miss, like, the Chinese buffet used to be. Imagine Nicole started a pizza buffet. Cece's had that.
I love it.
Oh, Nicole.
I love it.
You know, by the time we're done with this conversation, you're going to be saying to yourself, I love being the pizza gal so much that I'm done flipping houses. We're creating the first pizza buffet.
I'm going back.
You're going back. So tell me.
I
want to know, why did you decide to flip a house?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The house sort of fell in my lap. So, right, if you're in the market or watching the market, you know that once a house hits MLS, it's probably not flippable anymore, right? Because there's so many people going after these distressed properties, and there's people willing to work on very small margins that once it's on multiple listing, it's probably not that exciting.
I want to go into your answer. I want to just slow down a little so everyone understands what you're saying, because I get it, but I think it's very important what you just said, and perhaps that's more important than anything else we're going to talk about. What you're saying is, when you say it goes on MLS, multiple listing, you're saying if I could find that property online, that's really the simplest way to say it. Like, if I was going to go search online, at that point, what you're saying is it's priced too high to have enough margin in it that you could buy it and flip it, and all the transfer expenses in terms of buying and flipping it would make it not profitable. Is that what I'm getting you say?
Correct. So, most likely. I'm not saying there's not any deals that are online that could still work and turn you a profit, but I would say 98% of them, once they're online, you know.
So
the margins probably aren't big enough.
The point, though, is if someone's looking at you and they're like, I see Nicole on the Facebook, I see Nicole on the YouTube, I see Nicole on the Leapcast, and they go, I want to be like Nicole. Forget the flop property brothers. I want to be a property sister. And they go, I want to be just like Nicole. What you're telling me to start off with, though, is it's possible. But if you want to get into the flipping industry, the first key is identifying properties pre-multiple listing service. Is that what I'm getting?
Correct.
Okay.
So how does this fall in your lap?
Yeah. You know, that happened in The Wizard of Oz.
No,
it happened in The Evil Witch.
No,
it fell on her in The Wizard of Oz. It's very painful.
I feel like everybody wants something to just fall in their lap. So how did it happen to you?
Of course. So it's kind of crazy. I'm driving around. I'm showing properties like I do almost every day. I'm working on my listings, and I get a random phone call of a man who says, I have a home in Center Reach. I found you online. I called you, and I need to sell it tonight. And I'm like,
tonight,
okay.
Tonight.
Tonight. He tells me it's in disarray. It's a mess. He knows that, you know, he has a number in his head that he would like to end up with for this home. Can I come and look at it right away? So first important lesson to realtors, always tell someone where you're going if you get a random call from a stranger, especially if you're a woman. Not to be sexist, but you really should. So
I have to tell you, I think men need to do the same thing. People are crazy out there. People are completely nuts.
Really, like, feel that cray.
No, seriously though, like, I don't think people that aren't in a service sector realize, like you said, you were in the pizza industry, now you're in brokerage.
Right.
Like, you have to deal with people. I think people that live in like their little bubble don't realize how insane some people are out there, and you always have to protect yourself when you're meeting someone alone.
Right. So I'm meeting someone alone that just called me. I don't know who they are from a hole in the wall. And I'm going to their home in the evening. So
do you have mace?
I called my broker.
Do you bring mace? Do you have mace?
I don't. I probably should, but I do not. But I did call my broker. I called my mom, of course, you know. And I called my husband and I said, here's where I'm going. I'm going here at this time. If you don't hear from me shortly after that, you know, just check in on me, make sure I'm okay.
And your husband your husband ran and got the life insurance policy out, no?
Probably.
Strategic.
Probably. Yes. So I get to the house, lovely, lovely couple. And I'm not joking you, okay? I walk in the house, you know, it was exactly as he described. It needed a lot of love. But it was a nice layout, nice property, nice location. And I walk into the bedroom, and there is a piece of plywood on the wall with about 24 knives in it.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Apparently, the guy is a knife thrower as a hobby.
Okay.
Dead serious. So now I'm like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have come here alone.
Were you shaking? I would have been shaking.
Is this in his bedroom, you said?
Yes.
It's an S&M thing, Lauren. S&M. No, S&M. That's what they do. It's part of their play.
Sorry. True story. So I'm like, okay, now I'm frightened, but I'm here, and I'm like, okay, I might die, but you know, we're okay, we're gonna be okay. So anyway, it turns out he's like literally the nicest guy in the world, just has a hobby, and he laid it out there. You know, they had a plan, him and his girlfriend, they had a plan. They knew what they needed to pay off the mortgage, they knew what they needed to net so they could purchase their next place, and the numbers worked. You know, I knew what the ARV was after it was going to be renovated, what it would sell for, and it all made sense. And he was happy. He didn't want anyone in his house with COVID. He was very happy. He just wanted it gone. So it worked out.
So you do this. I just want to understand. You bought the place first, you renovated the place, and then you sold the place. You weren't being like a contract vendee where you were selling your contract. You actually closed on it to buy it. Is that correct?
Correct.
So you went in.
Correct. Yeah.
You buy it. Before you buy it, you're saying you knew what it was going to sell for. But did you know your plan on how you were going to renovate it? Did you know what you were going to do? Like, you said it just fell in your lap. It's not like you had this entire infrastructure of contractors already lined up with plans
right.
drawn up. So how do you go from this initial conversation to being so sure of yourself to say, you know what? I know that this, because, yeah, you know what it's going to sell for and you know what you paid for it. But there's that big gap in the middle of how long are you going
right.
to have to carry it and how much is it going to cost
right.
you? So how'd you get there?
Correct. So I took some video of the property while I was there. I shared it with a contractor that I know and work with. I shared it with someone actually I partnered with on the investment. We came up with a rough number. And of course, that changed throughout construction because that's what happens, right? You know, and I'll give you one example. The house had hardwood floors. They were in pretty rough shape. Thought we could save them. But, you know, once we got to work, we could not. So there was, you know, a little additional cost that we didn't account for. But we were pretty damn close. So I shared that video with the other investor, with the contractor. We came up with a number. We knew it would work. And here we are.
Wait, so I just
no one knew
go,
what was going to happen with COVID though.
I want to go back to you have an investor. So you were originally called as potentially being the listing agent, decide that, you know what, you're going to make more money on this if you do it yourself. So at that point in your head, did you think about all the people you can call to go in on it with you? Like what went through your head to even get an investor with you?
Well, he called really looking for someone to help him find an investor. So he wasn't really too keen on being on multiple listing service to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, as soon as I receive the phone call, my head is going through. I know quite a few investors, of course.
Okay.
My head is going through who would this be right for?
Okay.
And then when I sat down with him, it was very clear that he really didn't want people in and out of his house. You know, they were a little bit older. He was a little worried about COVID. He wanted it as easy and fast as possible.
I want to hit on this investor thing a little more. When you say an investor, is this, and you use the word a partner on the investment, that's the way you said it. What does that mean? Did you own it together? Was there an LLC? Did they just give you money? Like, what does it mean to have a partner on the investment? Because we use words like this because we see it on HGTV. Like, I got an investor. I got a partner. What I want to understand is, let's imagine I'm on your Rolodex as an investor. And next time you go to one of these things, you call me up and you say, Lieb, I got one. What does it mean for me to be your investor?
So I called someone who had experience in flipping already because, of course, I've worked with other investors. I've brought them properties. I've listed, you know, I've been listed them for them when they were renovated. So I know a bit, but I felt I was more comfortable calling someone who had already done a bunch on their own. What we did is they had an LLC already formed. We went to the hard money lender that they typically work with. So we took the loan together and that's how we partnered.
So basically. you became a member of their LLC?
No, I didn't. I didn't even do that.
So what were you in terms of this whole deal?
I was a guarantor on the on the hard money loan and money
so,
throughout the process.
I guess what I'm saying is when you're going in this, you didn't actually own this house you were flipping.
You were
I guess
the investor.
Technically, no.
And you didn't actually own the LLC that owned the house that you were investing in.
Correct.
So isn't it theoretically possible, and I just want to make sure I'm not missing this, that this person could have said, you're not on the deed. See you later, Nicole. Like, how are you protected, Nicole? I'm worried about you here. You are my neighbor.
Don't worry about me. It's someone I really trust. I work with a lot, but I do appreciate your concern.
I have trust issues.
Would I recommend... Yeah, would I recommend it to someone to just go find some random person and do it this way? Probably not, but it's someone I work with very closely. We have a great relationship. We have records of every dollar we've both put into the renovation, every penny we've spent. We're sharing spreadsheets and all of that. So we're fine. We're working with the same attorney, but we're all good.
So I would suggest to you also that you can't work with the same attorney on conflict issues. But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. Let's get back to this investment. So you have this LLC investor. They have the money. They have hard money lender connections. And when we say hard money lenders, right, just so we're all on the same page, we're talking about someone that's not an institutional lender that's going to give us a loan with less document requirements, usually for a higher interest rate because it's higher risk. Am I getting that correctly?
Correct.
Okay, so we got this investor, and did you and your partner, we'll just call him Mr. Partner for now, did you and Mr. Partner buy the property, close on the property before you dealt with plans and everything else? Like, how did this process go? So I want to walk back. You go into Knife Man's house. Knife Man tells you it's just a hobby. It's just a hobby. Don't think it's weird that I have knives all over my wall in my bedroom. I'm not kinky like that. That's what he says to you. You didn't bring your mace. You're there. You go, I already spoke to my investor. I can make this work. He doesn't want MLS. What's the next step? Because what I want to understand is, I imagine a gal like you, you're a winner. I've known you for a lot of years. Some people are winners. And if you did this really well, I imagine you're going to do this again. And I'm going to see Nicole dotting the landscape throughout Long Island. So when you do this next, I'm doing the play-by-play. I'm trying to understand, after you said we're going to do the deal, did you create construction plans? Did you go into contract? What is the next step that goes on after this all goes down?
So the next step was we went to full contract, of course. We went through the process. You know, we ordered title. We did all that good stuff that's on a regular process of purchasing a house. It took about maybe 25 days to close.
Okay.
Maybe 30. So it took about 30 days to close. We kind of had a plan. I knew what I wanted to do to the property because I know the market and I know what the buyers are looking for. So I knew right away what I wanted to change. Walls I wanted to open up, take down, closing up a door, making the kitchen bigger. You know, I kind of had the basic plan laid out in my head.
And I have to say, I just want to tell you, I've seen this house. You put it online and it's smashing. So what you have going on in your head,
beautiful.
You know what you're doing. And so if you were going to give someone one tip, I'm just going to do this in the middle. We're going to go back to what happened next after you closed. But what's one thing that we should know that is the it thing to do to make a house pop today?
Ooh, well,
I'll tell you what I'm talking about. We have a friend that's telling us, and I think this is just pure crazy talk, that the key today is dark countertops. Isn't that what you're talking about, Lauren?
No, dark backsplash.
Dark backsplash.
Black backsplash.
And I was like, this is not for me. I don't like this, but apparently I'm not cool. Apparently that's cool now. So I'm trying to understand, is there something that I want to do if I want this thing to pop right away? And what really popped out to me is what you did on that fireplace. I thought that was just gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, I love that fireplace. That came out great. The stonework, and we did an electric insert. It's beautiful. I mean, look, the white kitchen is still in.
Oh, thank you, Nicole.
To be honest with you, I'm sick of seeing the white kitchen.
No.
I've been told from my Hamptons friends that white and gray is coming out.
Lauren, your Hamptons friends don't know.
Yeah,
Nicole and I.
To.
We're right, Nicole. White kitchen. No.
It's still in. Everyone still wants it from what I can see. You know, I work with a ton of buyers. Everyone still loves the white kitchen. You know, it's still what's selling homes. But I'll be honest. I mean, I've been walking into it for the last 3 years, and I'm sick of it. But I did it because I'm not buying the house. Someone else
and
I know that that's what they want.
So that's a great tip, the white kitchen. So let's go back to you're going to contract. In between this 25, 30 days when you're between contract and closing, did you have to get any plans or permits or anything to do this work? Is there something that we do, or are we just letting the lawyers do the title stuff in this interim? What are you doing as far as planning during that due diligence period to make this flip? Because here's what I'm hearing. Every day you have the house that you're not doing the construction is another day you have to pay carrying costs in terms of taxes,
correct,
mortgage, things breaking. So a flip is really the key, is how quick you can get in and out. Isn't that true?
Correct. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes. And every day that went by, I was like, how close are we? How close are we? But to be honest, we didn't do anything that required plans.
Oh, good.
So we were very lucky in that sense that, yeah, it was mostly cosmetic. You know, we took out a wall here and moved an opening over there, but it was nothing that required plans, permits, or COs. So
love
we were
it.
Very lucky in that aspect. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just want to hit on that.
They had already blown out the back.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it was perfect.
I want to emphasize what you just said, because I would say that that's perhaps the second most important lesson that you've given. The first one I think I got, if I was going to flip a house, really, I got to find property before it hits the market. That was the first lesson I got. The second thing I just got from you is that you didn't need permits. You didn't need COs. You didn't need variances. What you were doing was more cosmetic, which made it much more predictable as far as time and expense, what you were doing. A lot of people go into a place, and you said you deal with a lot of buyers, so you know this, and they come in and they go, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And I go, have you figured out what's behind that wall? Good luck to you.
Right. Right. Yep.
So I think one of the keys that you did is you kept it real simple. Everyone says you got to go with the KISS principle, except when you're with the guy with a fetish with a knife thing. Don't do that. Keep it simple, stupid, though, with the KISS principle. And so what I'm getting on this is that you got in, you got out. Now, I have some more questions for you.
Sure.
Everyone knows that when you are a seller, you have what's called a property condition disclosure statement. And when you're a seller, most sellers in the state of New York give what's called a $500 credit to the buyer instead of filling it out so they don't have liability post-closing. But a lot of flippers I know go, that's $500 and we're on a margin here. Beyond that, a lot of flippers I know don't get title insurance. You said you ordered title on the way in. A lot of flippers I know use an attorney that they found in a Cracker Jack box because they need to save the money as much as they can.
Right.
What corners did you cut or did you not cut and contemplate to save money or make more money in the flip? That's what I'm trying to get at.
We didn't cut any corners that I'm aware of. Like I said, we ordered title. We used a real estate attorney that we know and knows works well and has our best interest at heart. I verified the property taxes, you know, because people tell you they're this and they don't realize they have $2,000 worth of exemptions, you know. So I really I checked everything. I
You're
mean,
detailed.
I asked the age of, I asked the age of the big items, right? The roof, the burner, the air, the central air, the items that I knew if we had to start doing that, that was going to add a whole lot more cost that we weren't really prepared to spend. So we really didn't cut corners, you know. I mean, they had done a garage conversion on the house that didn't have a CO, but you know that none of the lenders care anymore.
Yeah, but the towns do. The towns do. Oh, scary. Let me ask you a question, though, because this is what I really want to – I want to create a picture, and I'm hoping you can help me right now.
Yeah.
I watch HGTV. Let's imagine they do a house in Center Reach. They didn't, but let's imagine they did. I see at the beginning they bought the house for $250. I see at the end they sold the house for $350. That to me in my math, because that's all they're showing me, is $100,000 in profit. And I go, a gal like Nicole must be rich, must be rich. That's what I think to myself. So what I want to understand is, you just said you didn't cut corners, which I love about you. One of the reasons I wanted you on this show, because when people cut corners, they go bankrupt. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I think this is the thing that everyone should take away. Number one, buy before you get on, before it hits the market overall. Number two, don't do anything beyond cosmetic unless you've really investigated in advance, because there's unknown expenses you're going to hit. But then number three, the math isn't just what you sold it for minus what you paid for it. So what I'm trying to get at here is, let's imagine there's $100,000 in profit from what you sold it for versus what you paid for it. How much do you and your partner of that $100,000, and those aren't your numbers, I just want to be clear, I just made them up in my head, but if those were your numbers, how much of that $100,000 do you and your partner walk away with together today?
I would say probably about half.
And you are the listing agent, right? So it makes sense to me. I'm listening to.
Well, she saves money there, Lauren.
Yeah,
as a
well,
broker.
That's a significant amount.
Correct.
I mean, people are paying what, 5 to 6% for a broker fee?
But I think the key takeaway, and this is why I wanted to have Nicole go on, and she does save money as a listing agent, just like a GC that's doing this saves money on the labor.
Right.
Just like an attorney doing this saves money on the legal. Just like a title guy doing this saves money on the title. And I think that creates money in the margin, which is what you're getting at, Lauren. But I think a key takeaway, Nicole, and this is what I really wanted you to be on, when I'm watching that HGTV and it looks like they made $100,000, it's more like $50,000. That's what I'm getting from
Correct.
You, that it's about half of what we're seeing them say, because I think they give a false sense of reality to people. And what you need, what you need, everyone in Long Island that's listening to us live on RCN, anyone who's listening to the Liebcast, whether you're in Toronto, you're in El Salvador, you're in Texas, wherever you are, you're listening to us, what you need, what you really, really need is reality in the math from the broker you're working with when you're not doing this yourself, when you're not a broker. And that's why I had a top broker like Nicole on, Nicole Schwartz-Diaz, over at RE/MAX Integrity Leaders. They're over in Smithtown. She's killing it everywhere. Because I want you to know that the first question you should ask when you're thinking about flipping is, broker, tell me what's real, not what's on TV. This is the Liebcast. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Find us on social media at Listen to Lieb or visit listentolieb.com.